Welcome to KYRS Local News Friday Live Recap. We have a great show for you today. I have a piece following up on the reaction of the Morning Star Baptist Church. That is after the church was littered with racist flyers last week. Christian has coverage of a few important issues, from a new office of emergency management to a new warming center for the houseless. And Courtney has a report on new options in the Washington Healthcare Plan Finder. And in the second half of the show, we have some special guests live in the studio to talk about what's on the ballot. All right, let's get started. The Morning Star Baptist Church in North Spokane and its pastor, Walter Kendricks, has become a lightning rod for social justice movements like SCAR and No New Jails. Last week, it was littered with neo-Nazi flyers encouraging genocide. The pastor was worried for the safety of his congregation. However, friends and supporters all showed up this Sunday to show support. Church in North Spokane was papered with flyers stating it was okay to genocide subhumans and turn your sadness into rage. The flyers were from a neo-Nazi white supremacy group called the Feuerkrieg Division, also known as the FKD. They are the ones who took credit for the flyers. The Morning Star Baptist Church was targeted because it is an African-American church whose pastor, Walter Kendricks, is active in Spokane social justice groups, including SCAR, the Spokane Community Against Racism, and No New Jails. On Sunday, October 20th, many Spokane residents and activists who are partners in that fight showed up and stood with Pastor Kendricks and his congregation. In his sermon, Kendricks referred to the incident.
Hate is a part of this life.
Yes, it is.
And as much as I would love to eradicate hate, it will never happen. Not when we are on this side of eternity.
Then, after thanking those who attended for their support, as well as the Spokane police who stood guard, he continued his sermon with his usual vigor.
Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Watch out, pray for that neighbor that don't like you.
Right.
Pray especially for those who want to harm you. Paul says, see that no one renders evil for evil, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. He went on a little further and he said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing.
Yes, sir.
And in everything, give thanks.
Yes, sir.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus before you.
This is Tom Topping for KYRS Local News.
The city of Spokane has decided to create an Office of Emergency Management, and Sheriff Ozzy is critical. The Spokane Library has put local artists and events online, and the city of Spokane has a lease on a building to be a warming shelter through the winter. Here's Christian Adams, me, with more.
It will act independent of the county, which leaves the county and surrounding areas to pay for emergencies on their own. Mayor Condon made it known that the city will still help the county when needed. However, County Sheriff Ozzy Nezovich said that a, quote, lack of forethought was made clear to him from the decision. He said it was another process that has fallen apart between city and county. Quote, the city of Spokane seems dead set on destroying any regional concepts, unquote, said Sheriff Nezovich. For the office to move forward, the Spokane City Council needs to approve the 2020 budget. It includes $265,000 for the office. Spokane's current contribution to the Greater Spokane Emergency Management Office is 43%, about $210,000. In other news, the Spokane County Library District has created an online file of Northwest artists. They hope to celebrate creative talent in the community. It will provide people with the chance to find artists, writers, and musicians, among others. It also has information on concerts and local workshops. In our last story, the city may have finally found a new warming shelter. The city council approved a 60-day lease for a building on South Cannon Street. It will be a temporary shelter with the capacity to serve up to 120 adults. If the city wanted to spend the $395,000, they could use it as a permanent shelter at the end of the lease. This will hopefully help with the cold weather coming up. Many of the other shelters in town have received extra funding as well, with a focus on homeless families for some. Council President Ben Stuckert argued in favor of homeless families, saying that they are not homeless due to addiction. He also asked people not to pigeonhole people who are homeless. Quote, "We all live here whether you have a house or not," unquote. You've been listening to KYRS Local News, weekdays at 8 a.m.
New health care plans are available for Washington residents through the Washington State Health Plan Finder, with other features available like signing up for reminders when the period for choosing a new plan is coming to a close. Here's Courtney Roderick with more.
Latest in Washington health care news. Washington Health Benefit Exchange announced 2020 health plans are available for preview starting now. Washington Health Plan Finder customers will have access to preview plans prior to the 2020 open enrollment and may sign up to receive a reminder email when plans are available to purchase from November 1st through December 15th. The plan preview is available until Washington Health Plan Finder begins final open enrollment system readiness on October 31st, beginning at 1 p.m. Quote, "By offering a plan preview prior to open enrollment, we're improving how Washingtonians learn about their health insurance options. This feature allows customers to research what is best for their families or themselves," unquote, said by Exchange Chief Executive Officer Pam McEwen. Plan preview will allow users to browse 66 qualified health plans from 9 insurance companies. Customers are encouraged to visit Washington Health Plan Finder to access plan preview by signing into their accounts, selecting Apply Now from the home page, and then clicking Browse Plans. Additionally, users are encouraged to sign up to receive a reminder email when open enrollment begins by clicking on the Remind Me button. Open enrollment for 2020 plans begins on November 1st through December 15th. During this time, the Exchange Customer Support Center, based in Spokane Valley, will be open normal operating hours and ready to receive calls from 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVEKYRS to 44321 and rest assured that you helped keep KYRS alive and on the air. We are still collecting ideas from listeners for our Spokane Gems project. If you know a cool place, a forgotten but intriguing story about Spokane or the region, or a quirky bit of history, send it to us at news@kyrs.org for a chance to share it with listeners.
I'm back, and I want to welcome our guests into the studio today. We have Lori Fagan, Amy McCollum, and Mark Wilhelm. And our section, we're trying something new. It's like, what's in your pocket? This is what's on your ballot. So I'd like to start out by telling you again, welcome so much. I'm glad you're at KYRS. And tell us a little bit about, you know, what your name is. Well, I already said that. And, you know, what part of the town you live in. And just tell us about something, about what's important to you in this election season. Lori?
Hi. I live in the West Valley area. I'm kind of between borders. I don't live in Spokane City. I don't live in Spokane Valley. I do live in the 4th Legislative District. And so I do vote for District 81 schools. I do vote for state initiatives and then for our local 4th Legislative state offices. So that's where I live. What's important to me is to make sure that we have good voter engagement, that people have the resources they need to make good voter decisions. Get out the vote is huge for me, as well as making sure that our youth are pre-registered and start voting as soon as they turn 18.
Well, I guess what I really meant was, you know, what's important, like in your neighborhood, on your street,
Oh, okay. So obviously,
stuff that government does, reasons why we vote, you know.
Sure, sure. So obviously we all need good quality of life, and none of that comes free. So it's how we utilize our state and local resources to allow all of our neighbors and our families to have good quality of life. And that has everything to do with how we fund our schools, how we fund our health care, how we take care of those that are less fortunate than us. I know homelessness is a huge issue. I've got a lot to say about that.
Okay.
This is probably not the
You might have a chance. You know, we got a few minutes here.
Sure, thanks.
Mark, why don't you pull that microphone over to your mouth there, and you can fill us in.
Yeah, my name is Mark Wilhelms, and I live in the Perry District on the South Hill in Spokane. And I'm a teacher, so obviously any sort of school issues are really important. The school board certainly is important component to the school district and how we allocate resources and what we emphasize. I think the Perry District is a good example of what happens when government gets involved with the private sector and improves quality of life and makes a neighborhood livable and thriving. And so small things like the things that like a farmer's market can do to a neighborhood to revitalize, to bring people to, those are things that are tangible for people and that really has an impact kind of across the board. So those are some of the things that I've seen in the neighborhood I live in over the years.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming, Mark. It was so funny. We just ran into each other through a mutual friend just a couple days ago, but he seemed like a smart guy and be good had something to share. So, Amy?
Hi. My name's Amy McCollum, and it's interesting because I know Lori personally, and she brings up homelessness, and, you know, you're talking about the neighborhood, and my neighborhood is Lower South Hill, and literally blocks away from my house, an apartment building, an entire apartment building full of residents just lost their homes. And that is a couple blocks away from me. And
Did it burn down? Were they evicted?
No, they were evicted.
Oh, wow.
And so that to me is very concerning that, you know, someone bought that building and, you know, goes to upgrade it and 14 families lose their homes in my neighborhood. So, yeah, that concerns me a lot in this election. And I think that there are some candidates that will help that. And I hope, because I don't like to think that, you know, my neighbors are being directly impacted and on my neighborhood, like literally today or yesterday. I'm not exactly sure what day it happened, but.
Well, we're really lucky to have this Christian as a member for our news team because he kind of represents the youth. And so what's your perspective on all this, Christian?
I think it's just really important. I think a lot of people my age, it's really important to them that we just see progress in any form, really, instead of just stagnation or regression. I think that's just what matters the most to us.
Okay. Thanks, Christian. Well, what I prepared here is pretty simple, really. It's just a basic rundown of some of the things that we and other voters in Spokane County are going to be voting for. And, Lori, is there anything that jumps out at you on this list that you have feelings about?
I think that a lot of us are going to have an opinion about Initiative 1000. I think that something that's not getting a lot of attention is the Spokane City Prop 1, where it has to do with transparency with union negotiations. I don't think a lot of people really understand the implication that that means when we're talking about collective bargaining. I didn't know a lot about it until I spent some time with one of the labor council leaders and had a really nice in-depth discussion about what that really means to collective bargaining. So my take on this is, if you want to know how I voted or how I would vote, unfortunately, okay. I'm not in the city, so I can't vote. But if I could, I would vote.
If I forgot to read this earlier, yeah. but I want to say again, any and all opinions expressed by the host or their guest are not necessarily the opinions of KYRS, the board, or their underwriters.
That's right.
Okay, thanks, right. Lori.
So diving into that just a little bit deeper, collective bargaining is really about two sides. It's the labor folks, and then it's the folks that hold power. And when they come to negotiating table, the object is to come together and to find some kind of mutual agreement so that we can move forward and everybody has a say at the table. And to have total transparency where you have the public involved with that would actually probably make that more compartmentalized and impact the ability of both sides to come together.
Well, Mark, you're a teacher, so this would probably have some effect on you, no?
Oh, collective bargaining?
I guess, yeah.
I'm not sure if that would fall under teachers as well, just because I think it might be just specifically towards city employees.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that would be a different issue.
All right, but you have experience being a teacher with having collective bargaining in general affect you. And what would you have any feelings about that generally?
Well, I think collective bargaining is certainly one thing that's come out of, you know, if you look at the labor movement in general, the last 100, 120 years, I mean, those are things that the labor movement has fought for and is necessary. Obviously, you can negotiate with the owners, you know, to use old lingo, right? A lot easier when you're together than separately. So,
oh, sure.
I think a lot of these things that we kind of take for granted, if we appreciate some of the strides that we've made in the labor movement over the years, kind of taken for granted, but they've been under attack for decades now. I mean, you could look at Scott Walker in Wisconsin. I mean, that was his primary focus was to attack labor unions and take away pensions and that kind of thing. So these are things that we've fought for and that need to be, you know, protected and remain
in place.
Yeah,
that's right. Amy, do you have any strong feelings about what's on the ballot here? I know you've been chopping at the bit.
Why, yes, I do, Tom. I have to say, for me, the two statewide ballots are really, really important. Initiative 1000, or Referendum 88, as it's on the ballot, I firmly believe needs to be approved. Washington State is very far behind the game when it comes to hiring practices that encourage real diversity. The state has been held back from abilities to, you know, encourage more teachers of color or more all kinds of things that we are not allowed to do as a state. So Measure or Initiative 1000 will correct that. And there's plenty of data. Folks can go look online. There's plenty of data to show that we are one of the very few states that does not have some form of affirmative action without quota system. And then also Initiative 976. It's a Tim Iman initiative that...
Let me go back to Initiative 1000 again for a second. And what is your understanding of the arguments against?
That it is another form of discrimination, basically. And honestly, I think that the arguments against you, again, it has, you know, if you look at the groups that are paying for the for and the against side, that kind of sometimes a lot of times will tell you something about it. And I can't remember the exact name, but it's like there's a certain like, I can't even remember, grocery association or a pack or something. But it's very specific to one ethnic community, basically. And I think that there are some challenges that come along just in general with affirmative action type policies. So I don't think that it's a specific thing. I think this is just correcting something that the state shouldn't have had in the first place in another Tim Iman initiative that was not a good
idea.
Well,
as far as the 976, anybody that drives will think, oh, gee, this sounds great. $30 car tabs.
Yeah.
Especially, well, for me, I was in California. The car tabs there are like $200-$300 just for any regular car now. So I'm thinking, God, it's $70 here now, and that's wonderful, you know, for me. I don't need it to be any lower than that myself.
But you also are not paying for roads and bridges when you only pay $30 in car tabs. So, I mean, that's just, it's going to take $4 billion out of the state's transportation budget, which is directly here in Spokane. Like, I only moved here a year and a half ago, and probably the thing I hear the most complaints about is the streets and potholes and roads. So, folks in Spokane, it would be very advisable.
That's that freezer.
You know, Proposition 2, talking about income tax, I know tax is often a dirty word for a lot of people, but I think
the state has very regressive taxation.
Sure. Whether it be local or the statewide initiative 976 about the vehicle taxes and fees, you know, we all use services, we all require services. The money's got to come from somewhere, and I've lived in states with income tax, state income tax, you know, so you're paying federal income tax, you're paying state income tax. A lot of times when you live in a state with state income tax, sure, your license tags are going to be cheaper, but it seems like it comes out in the wash eventually.
Yeah.
You're either going to pay it when you register your car, you're going to pay it when you pay state income tax. So it's sort of, you know, we need services, we require services, and governments are looking for cash to provide services
right.
to citizens.
Well, I didn't know exactly how this was going to go, and we're really running short on time now, so lightning round.
Okay, lightning okay. round, yes.
So Amy, just say something about a candidate that you like or you know something about.
Let's see.
You have like 15 seconds.
15 seconds. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that I think that Ben Stuckert would make an excellent mayor. And I'm concerned with the amount of money that's come into the election against him. And I think that he has a plan for the city and there isn't a plan on the other side.
Okay, thank you. Lori?
Again, I can't vote in the city, but I'm very strongly a proponent of Brian Biggs to get the position of our city council presidency in the city of Spokane. I'm concerned that if Brian can't continue his amazing advocacy and forethought of planning in the city, that it's going to set our city back generations. This is a huge opportunity for Spokane, and I don't want folks to let that slip by.
Mark?
Not to double up, but as a teacher, I've been in buildings where principals have been good and principals have not been good, and they really set a tone, and that leadership really trickles down. And Ben Stuckert has experience, he's a good person, and he's really going to make Spokane a better place to live.
I think he's been doing a pretty good job. Christian, do you have any feelings about any of the candidates?
Like I said, I think it's important to pick, and this is my opinion, to pick a candidate that has positions and plans, which I think would put Ben Stuckert in the front of everyone's mind for this election.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it so much, your valuable time spending here today. You've been listening to KYRS Local News. Make sure to catch our daily morning broadcast at 8 a.m. and tune in next week for our recap of the week, Friday afternoons at 4:30. You can also listen online at kyrs.org or kyrslocalnews.podbean.com.
KYRS Local News receives support from Atticus Coffee and Gifts. 222 North Howard Street in downtown Spokane, near the Carousel and just down the block from their other store, Boo Radley's.
Thanks for listening. Join us next Friday for KYRS Local News Live at 4:30 and Tuesday through Friday for the KYRS Morning Local News at 7:58 a.m. Have a great week.